Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadget 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about two smartphones that most of us can't afford, but they are at the premium end and have some really nice features. So one of these is the Huawei Mate 20 Pro, which is a new flagship phone which is focusing on camera. So if you want excellent photos, then you can perhaps consider this as one of your picks. And then the other phone is the Asus ROG phone. I don't know if I should call it ROG phone or ROG phone.
ROG sounds better. Just stick with ROG.
Yeah, and that was the voice of Deputy Reviews Editor Royden Serejo, who's reviewed the Huawei Mate 20 Pro. And we also have the reviewer of the ROG phone,
ROG phone.
Aditya Shenoy with us.
Hello, guys.
Yeah, so it's going to be a little difficult to talk about these two phones without, like, you know, mixing them up because they're like completely in the different categories. So maybe we should talk about the Mate 20 Pro first since the review for that is complete.
Yep.
Yeah. So the Mate 20 Pro is, as I said earlier, a camera focused smartphone. So with this, you get three rear cameras and a flash arranged in a really nice box where, you know, it looks like almost like a bazooka, as we saw with one skin that somebody had made for that. Then there is also a new chip in this one, which is the Kirin 980.
Yep.
Yeah, so that chip is also pretty powerful. And in our test, we found that it is better than the Qualcomm Snapdragon 845, which at the moment is the best chip available on Android. So with this really powerful hardware, with a really good camera, does this one offer enough to maybe justify its price of 69,900? Well, Royden is going to take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Pranay. Definitely. I think by far, it's really surprising that, first of all, the Mate 20 Pro has come in pretty late in the year, right? We are about to close out 2018, and we already have one last flagship that has snuck in. But, I mean, truth be told, this is definitely one of, if not the flagship, which has really blown me away. Like, anything you can think of that you would want from, like, a high-end phone which costs above 60,000 rupees, this phone has it. And it has even more, like things that you would not even think about in a phone, like reverse wireless charging. Nobody ever thought of that.
I was thinking foot massager or something.
I mean, sure, I don't think we've reached that level yet. But, I mean, it's okay, it's a little gimmicky because you're not really, it's going to take a long time to actually charge a phone. But think about it, right? I mean, you're out there and someone needs, their battery is dying, or your own second phone, your battery is dying. You don't have a cable with you because nobody walks around with, like, cables with them. So you can actually use this phone as a wireless charger. How insane is that?
Yeah, that's cool. But, you know, condition is that your second phone should also have wireless charging, which means that the second phone is also worth at least 40,000.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, it's like, consider that your second phone or somebody else's phone is also a high-end phone, like at least an iPhone or a Pixel or a Samsung, which has wireless charging.
I mean, I'm okay with that. You know, I think having this kind of a feature is really cool. Eventually, wireless charging will trickle down to the cheaper smartphones
as well.
Yeah,
it really should. I mean, have you seen Panasonic do this? They're one of the few companies that have a wireless charging and a stainless steel body of all under 30,000 rupees.
What is that? Eluga Ray?
Eluga X1 Pro, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
X1 Pro. All right. So, that is true. What I want to ask you is that, you know, can you charge another phone via a cable using the Mate 20 Pro?
That is a good question. You should definitely be able to do it, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't tested this out. Hmm. Weirdly, this is the one thing that I missed testing out now that you mention it.
Well, I think you've got a new USB Type-C to Type-C cable.
Yeah,
right?
We can definitely try it out right now. I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be able to do it.
Having a USB Type-C port, it will be able to reverse charge. Even a normal phone, any USB Type-C phone is capable of reverse charging another phone.
Yeah.
But with this particular phone, it should be able to even fast charge, if I'm not wrong. But one of the things that I personally liked about the Mate 20 Pro is the 40-watt charger that they've bundled in the box.
That is a game changer. Like, it really puts OnePlus's dash charging to shame. It makes that look slow.
Yeah,
so 0 to 96% in like 1 hour.
Exactly. It's maddening.
Yeah, so, basically, like, if you have been, like, used to fast charging, I mean, this is really going to up the game. But with, you know, the increasing wattage, I'm always worried about the phone getting warmer while charging, or, like, you know, fear of explosions and all, etc.
So this thing doesn't really get crazy hot as you would expect, I think, because it's balancing the load. Like, the charger is probably taking most of the load.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the phone itself doesn't really heat up all that much. It just gets normally warm, as most phones do when you charge it.
So I think they've done the same thing that OnePlus has done, and this is something similar with the ROG phone as well, is that the charging IC has been moved to the charger and it's not on the phone.
Mm. Yeah.
So that avoids, you know, that prevents the phone from heating up when you're charging.
Yeah, that's actually really good to hear. And, you know, if it's available on a phone that costs 70,000, then yeah, I would expect them not to cut corners and like not to make a hazardous device. But if it was there on a phone that costs like say 10,000 or so, I would be really worried about the life of the phone and the charger both.
True, that is a...
Yeah. So that's one good thing to see, the fast charging capabilities and the reverse charging. But what about the cameras? So now we have the Google Pixel 3 starting at 71,000 rupees, which is done really well. We have the iPhone XS at 1 lakh, which is also a really good camera. But the Mate 20 Pro, how does it fare maybe, you know, against these two?
No, I think the Mate, I think it's on par with the iPhone XS and the Pixel 3. It's hard to say exactly. I mean, I did a little bit of a camera comparison between the XS and the Pixel 3 XL. And from what I've seen is it's definitely like the details and the colors and even the exposure and everything is handled very well, like just like the Pixel and the XS. So it's a pretty close call, especially if you switch to zoom. So this is where I think it goes a step ahead of the iPhone XS and even the Pixel 3. So this thing has a 3x zoom, so the focal length is a little longer on the telephoto sensor, which is why when you do that zoom, you can get a little bit more closer to your subject than compared to the iPhone XS, which has like a 2x zoom. So first of all, images shot with 3x zoom with the telephoto sensor in good daylight is a lot better than what the iPhone manages. Like the colors, the sharpness, the vividness of the image is a lot better on the Mate 20 Pro. And even it has something called 5x hybrid zoom, which was there on the P20 Pro as well. And even with 5x, which is basically doing a digital zoom after the 3x zoom. So it switches to the telephoto sensor at 3x. And then from there on, it uses the same sensor to do a further zoom. So at 5x, again, the Mate 20 Pro completely blows the Pixel 3 and the iPhone XS out of the water in terms of sharpness and detail. So pretty impressive cameras all around. Wide angle is also useful, although not that great for video and low light because it's got an f2.2 aperture. So the colors are, the white balance is mostly off in daylight compared to the main sensor. And in low light, images are darker than what you would expect because it just cannot trap in that much light.
Yeah, so one question I've been dying to ask for a while is, when is the camera comparison video for this one coming up?
So we are not going to do it because, I mean, I've sort of included the camera comparison of the the Mate 20 and the XS and the Pixel 3, which are the two top contenders in the main review itself, just to save everyone else the headache of going through yet another super lengthy article. Because let's face it, I mean, all of these cameras are really close and, you know, and I think it just made sense since we had the time for the review for the Mate 20 Pro. It just made sense to include that bit, dig a little deeper into the camera aspect.
Yeah, so all of these details are available on gadgets360.com for those interested in more. What I will say is that if you do a blind test, most probably like most people will not be able to tell the difference between, you know, one picture or the another. I mean, obviously like pictures will look slightly different. Some people may pick photos taken by a camera that's not even that good. Maybe perhaps, you know, the Note 9 camera, which is not that good right now. So some people may say that, okay, that's the best photo. In others, you'll probably find that in blind tests, most people are picking iPhone XS or Mate 20 Pro.
Very true, right? Because it's also very subjective. Like some people like more saturation, they like muted colors, they like more a more natural look to a picture, whereas some people like that dramatic look where, like, you know, the shadows are completely, there's a very contrasty image because the shadows are not lifted, like there's a lot of contrast in the dark and light scene. Some people prefer that kind of images, but overall, again, it would be pretty close, hard to pick a winner between these three phones, but they're all solid phones no matter which you pick. But in terms of value, I mean, think about it, right? I mean, the Pixel 3 XL starts at around 80. iPhone is around 1 lakh. And this is 70,000, 69,990.
And what's the storage and RAM on this one?
That's the 6 GB of RAM and 128 GB of storage. Yeah. So you're still getting double the storage of the starting price of the Pixel and the iPhone XS, which again is
pretty crazy. Apple and Google take note. 64 GB is no longer table stakes.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to change anything. Yeah. Just based on what Huawei's done, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare it to the like similar storage variant, so I think iPhone goes from 64 to 256. So that's like
512, I think.
No, 64, 256, and then 512.
Oh yeah, so, yeah, that way. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the 256 one, the 256 one on the iPhone is what, 110,000.
Or 1,14,900.
Yeah. And on the Pixel 3 XL, the 128 GB storage 93. Variant is like 92.
It's still under lakh. The top end variant of the XL is still under a lakh.
Yeah. And you're getting all that for 70,000. Yeah. But the problem is that Huawei has this perception, right, in the market in India at least. Yeah. It's not really a huge brand name. Like even Google, I wouldn't say that, you know, it's a huge brand name. But then a lot of influencers and other people are like apparently picking it up.
But that, no, like you rightly said, I think that is that was forms the basis of the review as well. Like that is the biggest issue Huawei has. I mean, they have a fantastic product. It's just that, especially for people like India, I mean, they are the second largest smartphone manufacturer globally. But still in India, the name Huawei, when it comes to a smartphone, is relatively unknown, right? You wouldn't really...
Yeah.
Like, how many people would actually go out and buy a Huawei smartphone, apart from the 6P in those days? I'm not talking about Nexus 6P
days. So the Honor brand is much more popular. It's the same company's brand for budget phones.
Exactly, because I think that is because they have pushed that Honor brand to India, which has so far been, and it still is, like a very budget, price-conscious market. And since Honor is like an online-only brand of theirs, they could give that aggressive pricing, and you know, but obviously I don't think that's working out because Honor is also not exactly doing, I mean, in terms of perception, it's again not one of the top brands that most people would pick, which is why I think Huawei is going completely aggressive this time. And even adopting the offline market, I think in some recent report they have said that they're going really aggressive in India, adding India specific features to their phone. So EMUI, you'll see a lot of India specific features as well.
Yeah, so since you mentioned that, why didn't you talk about like how EMUI is?
Yeah.
And it's based on Android 9 Pie, right?
Yep. Yeah. So this is EMUI 9, which the company, which is like a refresh. The company announced this around IFA when they launched the Kirin 980. And it's pretty nice. I mean, it's still EMUI. There's still a lot of getting used to, but it's cleaner, it's nicer. There are some new India-specific things like we talked about added. So there is this regional calendars that have been added. There's this Hindu Panchang calendar which gives you like Murat timings and stuff like that.
Nice.
Then there's Islamic prayer timings also for some. So you can enable either or. It's you can't have both at the same time. But this is baked into the default calendar app.
Let's hope in the next version they allow everything at the same time because, you know, it's a multicultural country.
Exactly. Yeah, that is there. Then another thing they've added is like a quick pay feature, like similar that we've seen on OnePlus 6 and even the 5T, where you can program a fingerprint sensor to directly open the QR code scanning page of Paytm. So if you unlock the phone with the registered fingerprints that you've assigned through Paytm, it'll unlock the phone and directly open Paytm to the part where you can directly scan a barcode to make a payment.
Mm.
So that is one thing that they've also added.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. Yeah. But since you mentioned the fingerprint sensor, why don't you tell me what's bad with this phone?
Okay, here we go. So the fingerprint sensor, like all, it's an in-display fingerprint sensor for those who are not aware, unlike the Mate 20, which has a regular capacitive one. It works decently well, just like all the in-display ones that we've seen so far, including on the 60. But it's not very consistent. It's not very quick. Like there are times where you will want to unlock the phone quickly, and it'll either not recognize or it always takes like at least a second, if not more, to recognize your finger and then finally show you what's on the display. But in place of that, I think the face unlock is miles ahead. That's miles faster, and I ended up using that more often because it is so much quicker and so much more reliable. And it works in pretty much any lighting condition, even if you have sunglasses on and everything.
Okay. So that's actually nice to hear that the face unlock, you know, it uses that infrared thing and all.
Yeah, clearly. It's got a dot projector and the IR camera, just like the iPhone XS.
Okay. Yeah. So overall, will you pick this as your best Android phone of 2018?
By far, I think it's got pretty much everything for 70,000 and the versatility that the cameras offer. Not to mention the features, right? It's got that beautiful Quad HD display, excellent build quality. It's dual SIM, which again, most top high-end Android phones or even an iPhone don't have two physical SIMs. Let's say it's got the fingerprint sensor, it's got NFC, it's IP68 certified, dust and water resistance. You've got fast wireless charging, that crazy fast charging that we talked about, Android 9 Pie. And yeah, those really good cameras and excellent battery life, like really, really good battery life.
So how much was it, like, you know, in typical usage? What?
So I'm like I said, mentioned earlier also, like in typical usage, like I deliberately really, you know, stressed the phone out just to see how it would take. So I charged it 100%, forced the display resolution to the Quad Max, which is the Quad HD Plus. Enable this performance mode in the battery settings, which basically gets the CPU, like runs the CPU at top performance at all times. Played a ton of games, Warhammer, PUBG, you name it. Just ran a bunch of benchmarks also just to see how much of a dent it would make. Usual stuff like Bluetooth streaming through Amazon Music, GPS apps like Google Maps, Uber, and regular Twitter and Telegram. And of course, we had a 4G SIM in it at all times. Despite all of this, I still got a usage time of roughly 21 hours. Which is, I thought, was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, so I mean, most people will like disable some of these things.
Exactly. And like now, most people, you would have the resolution to... there's a smart setting which will dynamically scale the resolution. You need not have performance mode all the time, because even with general usage, without it, with it switched off, the performance is still excellent and you don't really need it on. But I just wanted to see how much I could push that battery if I had all these bells and whistles on. And it was still delivered roughly 21 hours, which was insane.
Yeah, so most people will easily get a day and a half on this.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Okay, so I think that pretty much wraps up the Mate 20 Pro.
Yeah, if you want the best Android phone and you haven't upgraded yet, I think you should get the Mate 20 Pro. Hands down.
Okay, then. Aditya is yawning in the other corner.
Yeah.
Sorry. To talk,
I think,
about
yeah, let's switch gears to the ROG phone.
Yeah. ROGNI, ROG.
Yeah, so the ROG phone, for the uninitiated, is a gaming phone from Asus. The ROG brand is essentially Republic of Gamers, which has been around for a very long time, for at least like 10 years or so, in the Asus pantheon. Earlier, it used to be for desktop components where like...
Mainly motherboards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Certain motherboards like oriented towards gaming. Then they brought laptops in, and then they finally came and brought in a smartphone now.
Yeah.
So this phone is marketed as a gaming phone, but you know, we are not entirely convinced whether, you know, you can I mean, you can't use any other phone as a gaming phone, but it looks a little tacky. The UI on this is ROG UI. That also looks a little tacky. You know, it's one of those
I think tacky is putting in mildly, but yeah, go ahead, you're right.
Yeah, so I mean, the phone has like red accents and all. You can like seriously just go and check a picture of this and you'll know exactly what I'm saying, and definitely go and check a picture of the software on this one. Like, it all looks like, you know, something that I would have really loved when I was in college, and like, you know, I wanted these cool gadgets with
me. In the 90s, basically.
Yeah, so, wow. Or maybe 70s, you know, I'm really old right now. So,
I mean, with that beard, you can't really tell. Yeah.
So yeah, I would have really loved to have that in college, but now that I'm, you know, super old and like half my hair are graying and I'm like, you know, really, really ill all the time, I don't find
where
that.
Is this going?
So I don't find it that appealing.
Yeah, so even when I first unboxed it, it looks a little different. It's like Asus sent the designers back when you had the normal phone. They're like, okay, we need to make it this look different.
Yeah, the packaging
it's
itself
phone.
Is pretty interesting also.
So the back case it's got like different elements on it. Most of it is glass, and then it's got like a copper fin kind of a thing on a side, which helps in cooling it. So the design is basically it screams that it's a gaming phone. So the first time you hold it, you will know that it's not like a regular phone that will do gaming well, but it looks like it's made for it. And you look at the other elements as well. So you have a side mounted port, a 48 pin port that they've put. So one port is a USB Type-C port, and the other is a custom port which can be used to connect to other Asus ROG accessories. So the main reason for that is when you're gaming and you have the... Usually you have the port on the bottom. You have a charging port on the bottom, and that will come in the way when you're holding the phone in landscape mode. So they've made an additional port on the side so you can plug it in.
That's pretty smart, actually.
And they've also gone to the extent of giving in a aero cooler unit with the box.
Okay.
So right out of the box, you have a aero active cooler is what they call it.
Which is basically like a fan that you clip onto
fan,
the phone.
Yeah, on the phone. So that it'll help the phone maintain the temperature so that it does not get hot and you don't lose out on performance as and when you have been playing it for longer durations. And they've thought about it. So you get a USB Type-C port on the accessory and a headphone jack as well. So
you can still charge it on.
You
use
can
your
charge
headphones.
It and use a headphone jack. By the way, even the phone has a headphone jack. Huh. So you do get a 3.5mm headphone jack, so you can use your regular headphones and charge it at the same time. And talking about chargers, well, this thing gets a 30-watt charger. So I thought it was cool until Royden showed off the Huawei Mate 20 Pro charger, which is faster. So I haven't timed it yet because I'm waiting for the battery to run out. It's currently undergoing a daily usage test. So my guess is that it will be a little slower than the Huawei Mate 20 Pro, but it'll still be faster than...
But 30 watts is still good. I think that's most... It's better than what you get from most, I think, with Charge 3 and everything.
So it will be faster than the OnePlus 60. And I think it'll be a shade under the Huawei Mate 20 Pro. So my guess would be 0 to 85% probably in an hour.
Yeah, so Asus has taken what I like to call the desktop approach to this, where, you know, a bunch of modular components can be attached to... Yeah. Add things. So I'll just quickly first maybe bring up the price of the ROG phone. So it's 69,999
rupees.
Exactly
the same as the Huawei Mate 20 Pro.
Yeah, and it has a custom Snapdragon 845 chip. Yeah. Now, I don't know about the benchmarks, if we've compared those to the Mate 20 Pro. Like, is it better than the Kirin 980?
The Mate 20 Pro is actually better in terms of usual benchmarks, but graphics is where the Asus ROG phone is slightly better. That's primarily because the Mate 20 Pro has a Kirin 980 that's based on a 7nm process. Whereas this isn't. So it's an 845. So your usual, the regular run-of-the-mill 845 is clocked at 2.8 gigahertz. This is clocked at 2.96 gigahertz. So it's like a little higher.
So I think what they worked with Qualcomm on this and cherry-picked some 845 chips which have the best yield. So they picked these specific chips which have deliver the best performance. Like, and so in a silicon die, when they're making the chip, you usually have a small portion which has deliver the best yield. So they have like handpicked a few custom chips from each silicon wafer when they are making the 845 and like use that in that. So they are able to overclock it and get those higher speeds compared to other 845.
Again, we are back to the desktop approach on this phone.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, this phone is just entirely marketing. But then if performance-wise, the Mate 20 Pro, at least in the CPU performance, is outperforming this one. It does not really look that good also. This is why we always tell people, don't fall for the marketing hype. Look at what the phone delivers and then make a purchase.
And again, benchmarks are just half the story, right?
Yeah exactly. So now this phone has 8 GB of RAM and 128 GB of storage. Once again, Apple and Google, take note, 128 GB of internal storage. It comes with a bunch of accessories as well in the market, so you can buy these separately. There's a professional dock, which is at 5,499. There's a joystick, which is called GameWise. It's 5,999. There's a twin view dock, which has a second screen as well.
That's completely pointless if you ask me.
Yes. So it reminds me of that Xperia P tablet or something back in the day.
The foldable tablet.
Yeah. So that is at 21,999.
Or
3DS. 3DS indeed. Then there is a desktop dock, which I assume makes this phone screen like reflect on a desktop.
Like a DeX sort of an interface. Basically. Samsung DeX.
So that is at 12,999.
Wow. So that's pretty much like it's got a lot of ports. So I think you can use your it's pretty much like a DeX.
Yeah.
Like Asus ka DeX.
Yeah. So what I want to know is that, okay, if I want to use this on the desktop dock with the cooler included, is it possible to do that?
No. I think because the port on the phone is on the side, and you can only connect one attachment at a time.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a downer actually, because if I'm using it in desktop mode, that is actually when I would really want the cooling, because
if the dock has a fan. You never know. So just put a fan in.
At least from the images that we saw, we don't have the dock in the office, but it looked like a pretty sizable thing.
Yeah.
Might have sneaked a fan in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so a bunch of accessories all look pretty interesting, but a little on the costlier side. But I'm, you know, going to go out there and say that, you know, instead of buying an iPhone 10, you could buy this phone.
Wow.
And, you know, iPhone XS, you could buy this phone, buy a couple of accessories and still be under that price and get more storage. So you can look at it that way as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, what about the other features on this phone? Like, I don't think we've spoken about the fact that this ROG gaming UI, which is what the custom skin on top of Android Oreo
so
is called.
So, ROG UI, first of all, it's Android 8.1 Oreo, okay? So, at 70,000 rupees, the Huawei Mate 20 Pro already is shipping with Android 9 Pi. I think Asus should have shipped it with Pi already, considering the price point. And it's competing with what the Mate 20 Pro and the Pixel, which are shipping with... Pi and the Note 9, which is scheduled to get Android Pi update really soon with the One UI.
In Jan.
Yeah. So I think, or at least they should have a timeline. They haven't mentioned anything as of now. ROG UI, I'm not a big fan of it. It reminds me of the old Sony Ericsson days when, you know, the icons look quite similar to those. And the main issue is that you have an icon pack only for the apps that come pre-installed. Any apps that you install from the Play Store has the modern pack, has their own icon, and it looks completely out of place. So when you open the menu, you have a mix and match of new icons, shapes, and then those retro gaming kind of icons. So they totally look weird. So I'm not a big fan of it.
But can you disable that?
I think there's theme support, so you can go ahead and
change that icon pack.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, just like one of the things that are like sort of...
Or just put Nova Launcher.
Yeah.
Get rid of everything.
Yeah, get rid of everything. No, but why have they chosen to put like a gaming UI on top of this? Does it add anything apart from the fact that, you know, there's a, I mean, tacky or cool looking depending on how old you are?
It's only
just to go with the theme, right?
Yeah,
the whole
it's
gaming
just with
theme.
The theme, because the way the phone is designed, they wanted to show that they followed it through and through. So even the software kind of gets that. Because all the gaming components is there in like one simple app that they have on the phone, which has all the, you know, all the settings that you need for gaming, or the gaming mode, or everything is there in one shot. So this is purely for visuals. Like, you know, okay, you know that you're using a gaming phone. Apart
you
want to
talk about the triggers though? That is
so
the unique part about
that
this phone.
That is something cool. So they have something called as air triggers. So you've got 3 points on the phone which are pressure sensitive. So it actually uses ultrasonic sensors. So those are like buttons. So you can tap on them and the phone can gauge that as a feedback. So as a result, when you're gaming, you can use that as a dedicated button.
So you can change in the settings, you could program that to do something.
Yes, yes. So, and you can do it per game. So what happens is...
and it'll remember the settings per game.
Yes, it will remember it. So I've done it for PUBG. So you can, what you can do it is you can teach the phone that when you click a particular air trigger, you need to click on a particular point on the screen. So basically, you're asking it... So whenever you tap the air trigger, it's going to tap a particular point on the screen. So if in case that's where the shoot button is, it's going to do that. The trigger is going to be used for shooting.
That is
how it is.
So can you like do something like, okay, when I tap this trigger, just aim at somebody's head and tap the other trigger and
no
shoot.
There's
no aim bot. But yeah, that would be super helpful. But
so where are these trigger points on the phone?
So you have 2 trigger points on the right side. So one is at the top, the other is at the bottom. Like it's on the side of the phone.
When you're holding it in
holding it in landscape mode, yeah. So when you're holding it in landscape mode, it's at the left and the right, at the top. Where usually your
controller has
buttons,
trigger buttons.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly, that's where
shoulder
it is.
Buttons.
And
the
third one is on the other side. Now, what that is used for is it has that squeeze like gesture, just like the Pixel.
Oh.
So you can squeeze the phone and you can assign different stuff to it. So a short squeeze or long squeeze, and you can assign it to do an app or, you know, run the resource cleaning app.
Interesting.
So basically you can free up RAM or even enable X mode, which basically clears up the RAM and puts it in like gaming mode.
Yeah, so my biggest problem with this phone is that it's a gaming oriented phone. Sure, I really appreciate the effort they've taken to make this and all that, but ultimately it is going to Google Play for all the games.
Yeah.
And now when you have the Nintendo Switch in this world with like a really good store of like portable games, and you get that at like what, 20,000-25,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus like even if you say 4,000 per game, you could buy like 5 or 6 games easily and still be under the price of this one. So in that world where you get really polished games on the Switch, is the Google Play Store, like, does it have enough games to like appeal to people and spend this much money on a phone for gaming?
Well, I think they are aiming at casual gamers who would use one device to game in their spare time and not like have time dedicated only for gaming. So it's like, okay, if you have time between doing your stuff, so you'll quickly go in for a game. And this is the ROG phone. It's for the enthusiast lot of the ones that I'm discussing.
Yeah.
So casual gamers who want to, you know, go a little further, want a device that is dedicated for it, or just want a device that stands out, because everything else in the market pretty much looks the same now.
But that pricing is still crazy steep though for a very niche thing.
Yeah, exactly. And in the market, see, even if you don't have those custom yield, like the overclocked 845s, you do get the Snapdragon 845 chip at like 21,000 starting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Poco F1.
Yeah, you could get maybe about 80% of the performance from that
more
phone.
I would say.
Yeah. And I don't know how many games actually utilize that graphics chip that is there on this one. Especially on Google Play, I'm not really sure if any of the really popular games use that GPU to its full extent, where you can, you know, say that, okay, fine, the whatever custom GPU they've used also on this one is going to be actually needed for a game, and it won't run
that
as well otherwise.
Yeah.
So I'm like struggling to think of a market for this actually. If it's for casual gamers who like don't have that much time, then why is it priced at 70,000? Yeah, if it's for pro gamers like esports people and all, then I can maybe understand, okay, that it's a phone designed for esports gamers who go to tournaments to play PUBG and all, and they would maybe spend on the hardware. But from the marketing we've seen, it looks like it's for everyone, not just for like the pro community. So for that, I'm really struggling to see why the phone is priced this high. And beyond that, like, how is it for regular functions such as, you know, the camera and other things, battery life, how are those things?
Yeah, so the battery loop test, I've run the battery loop test and it managed like 11 hours. So it's a 4000 milliamp hour battery and it's about decent. I would say that you will be able to finish one day of work with that kind of battery life. And gaming also with, I guess, around 25 minutes of PUBG, I saw like a 6% drain on battery without using the AeroActive cooler. With the cooler, the temperature is slightly lower, and but it does drain the battery a little more because you are powering the fan. So I think it's good for your usual use. Camera wise, I would say it's good. It's still not as good as the Huawei Mate 20 Pro or even the Pixel 3 for that matter. I would say it's like an 8 out of 10.
I was quite surprised actually. The quality of pics that Shanoi showed me were pretty good, especially in low light. I wasn't expecting that. Like, you know, ROG phone, you think they've only focused on gaming and just ignored everything else. But the camera is actually pretty decent.
Yeah. So on low light also, it uses that night mode that they have, the Asus night mode, so it will keep the shutter open for like 3 seconds. You have to be like really still for it to click a good photo. But night mode, yeah, that's the only one compromise. Like, you'll have to be very, very steady in low light.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I'm really happy that, you know, it's not just a gaming phone targeted at like a market that probably doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You can use it for your like day-to-day use pretty well, even if, you know, you don't, even if you don't mind carrying a phone that
but
looks
I think
like
one
that.
Thing that we missed is that it has a full HD display with a 90 hertz refresh rate, which is specially tuned, like, you know, to give you a smoother frame rate in games and even day-to-day use. That is good. Having said that, if you know the Razer Phone 2, which came out, I think, a month back or something, that's not available in India.
120 hertz.
Yeah, that has a 120 hertz quad HD plus display. It's an LCD. It's not AMOLED like the ROG phone. But still, that has a higher refresh rate and a higher resolution as well.
Yeah, but, you know, ultimately, I think having this also is a pretty good thing. I mean,
it's not bad. By all means, I'm just saying that there is, the Razer also has their gaming phone with slightly better display specs. Unfortunately, they don't bring any of their products in India.
Any other final thoughts on these two phones, or can we wrap up the most, rich people podcast episode in the history of this one?
Yeah, I think you can go for it. I mean, if this... anyone who didn't catch us before, if you have 70 grand, just buy the Mate 20 Pro.
I think I'll agree with Royden.
Okay, then I think that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Gadgets360, and you can go to gadgets360.com to read in-depth impressions, reviews, and, you know, you can check us out on YouTube to see the videos and find out more about these two phones. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you please, if you use any of these apps such as Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to listen to this episode of Orbital, please go and rate us, review us, subscribe to the show. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.